Okay, Chaver, truth be told, I'm not exactly sure what we got up to last week. So what we're going to do this week is we'll pick up on something that we did last week, and then we'll go on in the Gemara. And I know that there are certain things that we did not say last week that we will say this week, so this will not be entirely review. If you remember, last week we learned the Gemara about, let's say, Haisa Gavoa Me Esrim Ama Ubana Ba Amud Shu Asarat Fachim. Right? It is six lines into the Gemara. The Gemara says that if the sukkah is above 20 Amos and you build a platform of 10 Tfachim, and that platform has enough of Hechsher Sukkah, so Abaya thought it's going to be kosher based on good Asik Mechitzta, and Rava says, no, you can't do that because there's a din of Mechitzos Nikaros. Right? What we spoke about last week is that Abaye agreed to Rava, right? We pointed out the Lashon of the Gemara, that Savar Abaye Lameimar, Abaye thought it's going to be kosher, but Acharei Kechlos HaKol, it's not going to be kosher, because the halacha is that you need mechitzos nikaros, because you need the mechitzos to be recognizable. And when I have this amud, I have this platform, so then the mechitzos are not really recognizable, and therefore it doesn't help. Ad kan divrei ha-Gemara. Now, the Gemara then tells us a machlokas hatanoim. Right? And that's really what we're beginning with this week. Tanu Rabbanan. Na'at arba kundesim v'sikech al gabon. Reb Yaakov is machshir v'chachomim poslim. Right? What if I take arba kundesim, I take four kundesim. What's kundesim? I take four, like, posts. And I put schach on top of the posts. So Reb Yaakov says it's going to be kosher, and the Chachamim say it's no good. And then the Gemara has a machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman about when is this machlokes Reb Yaakov and the Chachamim. Okay, so we'll talk about this in a second. But just one point that's worth pausing on is this whole Gemara is very hard to understand. Because the Gemara does not connect this machlokes, to the machlokes of Abaye and Rava. No, Abaye and Rava have a machlokes where they say good asik. And then the Gemara digs up, oh, I have a machlokes Reb Yaakov and the Chachamim. And the Gemara never says, oh, well, we're talking about good asik, no? That's never said at all in the Gemara. So it's not at all clear what is going on here. Basically, the case in the Gemara is as follows. You have a house, and you put arba kundesim, right? You put four posts on top of the roof of the house. So the Gemara says that there's a machlekes hatanoyim. My art is, like, really bad. I'm going to give up right now. The Gemara basically says that there's a machlokes hatanoyim whether it's kosher or not kosher. Right? That's what emerges in the Gemara. And that seems to be the same exact thing as the machlokes Abaye and Rava earlier. So that's one issue to ponder. That's one issue to focus on. Hi, Tanya. So, I mean, again, it's a machlokes earlier in the Gemara, Abaye and Rava. We always paskin like Rava. There's only six times in Shas that I paskin like Abaye.
Same with the six times
in Shas. No? So now you're making the problem even worse. Right, so this is, you were compounding the problem, but yeah. Right? The Gemara then continues. Okay, so I have this machlokas Rabbi Yaakov and the Chachamim. Rav Huna says that machlokas is asfas hagag. Rabbi Yaakov says good asik, and the Rabbanan say we don't say good asik mechitza by asfas hagag. But by emtza hagag, everyone will say it's no good. Rav Nachman, however, says no. The machlokas is by emtza hagag. And then the Gemara has a question, is machlokas by emtza hagag, but by asfas hagag for sure it is good? Or is it they're both a machlokas and zuk the Gemara teku? Okay? So now, what we have over here is as follows. According to Rav Huna, the machlokas between Rav Yaakov and the Chachamim is whether I say good asik. So Rav Yaakov says good asik, and the Chachamim say no. I don't know why my handwriting is so more messy if I use this. Let me go to my finger. It's better with my finger. Basically, there's a machlokas. According to Rabbi Yaakov, it's going to be kosher. Right? The Chachamim say it's not good. Now, according to Rav Huna, that's exactly the same machlokas as Abaye and Rava. And that would mean that everything works out okay because we follow the Chachamim, not Rabbi Yaakov. That's grand. Now, the problem then comes up, though, within Rav Nachman. Because according to one version of Rav Nachman, what we're saying is that the machlokas Rabbi Yaakov and the Chachamim is by emtza hagag. But when I am talking about sfas hagag, when I'm talking about the edge of the roof, so everybody would say it's good. Now, how can everybody say it's good if it's at the sfas hagag? L'cha'ora can only be good if you hold of... Oh, that actually rhymes. It can only be good if you hold of good asik, right? But we don't hold of good asik because Rava says we don't hold of good asik. So this really makes the Gemara more problematic. I have a machlokas, Rabbi Yaakov and the Chachamim. The Gemara never links the two, but it seems to be about good asik. And then, according to one version within Rav Nachman, we're going to end up in a problem because we said earlier that we don't say good asik. And according to one version of Rav Nachman, everyone agrees that by sfas hagag it's okay, which means that we do say good asik, and this creates one problem. Good? That's one issue to begin the conversation with. Now, next issue. If I'm talking about good asik, so in the case of the amud, in the case of the amud that we had at the beginning of the Gemara, I say good asik just if I have a mountain. I don't need any kundesim to say good asik, no? This Gemara is like really strange. This Gemara says I have a roof, and on the top of the roof, I put poles. And I'm going to say good asik because I put those poles up on top of the roof. Well, hello, ladies. Why do I need the poles to say good asik? Right? The halach of good asik basically means that I have a mechitza, right? And my halachic imagination is that I can draw this mechitza higher and higher and higher. If that's the pshat in good asik, so then even without the poles, I can draw the mechitza higher and higher and higher. Why on earth do we need the poles, especially because in the previous Gemara, we didn't have the poles? Now, if you're sensitive, you realize that the second point that I made just answered the first point. No? Anyone want to... Just the mathematics of the sugya. We have a question. Isn't the machlokas Rabbi Yaakov and the Chacham the same as machlokas Abaye and Rava? So the answer is no, it's not the same. Because right? Because we have the we have these polls, and those polls tell me that, you know what? The polls tell me that it's not the same exact thing as what we had in the previous sugya. Precisely because the Gemara goes out of its way to say that they're a dalad kundesim, that indicates that the kundesim themselves are contributing to the good asik. And in this way, we could maintain that even according to Rava, who told us last week that I do not say good asik mechitza le'inyan sukkah, right? We discussed whether we deny the concept of good asik throughout Judaism, or whether it's just in Hilchos Sukkah. I think last week we spoke at length about how sukkah requires a dothan. Sukkah requires a physical wall. And good asik is very nice in my world of halachic imagination, but it's not a physical wall. Right? That's what we tried to develop last week. So, last week we said you don't say good asik. But it could be that the type of good asik that we mentioned last week is not relevant to the type of good asik that we're talking about now, and I have two proofs for that idea. Proof one, the fact that we do not connect the sugya of Abaye and Rava to the machlokas of Yaakov and the Chachamim. And point number two is the fact that why do you need kundesim? Let's make a third point, just for fun. Rachel, you seem a little... are you with me? In other words, I'm making two points which are connected. The fact that the Gemara says that we need the poles on top of the roof, that indicates that these poles are necessary, because without these poles, I would definitely not say good asik. That's really what we're getting at. Now, let's just talk about one more point. The other point that we'll talk about is, how many walls does a sukkah have to have? One, two, three, right? Two walls and a tefach. Okay, so let's say I need poles on top of the roof. How many poles do I need? Three poles, no? One, two, maybe three. This should, yet the Gemara says, I have dalid kundesim. Now, another point. Where are these kundesim located? See, I've been cheating until now. I've been drawing those poles at the end of the roof, no? But couldn't I say that this is my roof, and I have poles 1, 2, 3, 4? Right? I didn't go to Cooper Union, so I'm not exactly sure, but my guess is that you could support schach, whether the poles are at the corner or whether the poles are in the middle. I assume that there are ways of supporting the schach either way. Nachon? So how come we're talking about, and I'm not sure we're talking about this, it could be I was just making an assumption that the poles are at the corners, but it is a little unusual that the Rishonim all seem to make that same assumption that the pole is at the corner. L'cha'ura, it doesn't have to be that way. So, we have another question. This other question actually is found, if you look in the back of the Gemara, there's a note of the Puras Yosef in the back of the Gemara. So the Puras Yosef raises this question. Those of you who have Gemaras, if you want, we could turn to the Puras Yosef and look at it inside. But the Puras Yosef raises this question about why is it that you need four poles? Shouldn't three poles suffice? That's his question. And then the other question that we'll ask is whether the poles have to be at the edge or not. Let's go back into the Gemara, and then we'll confuse things even more, and hopefully after we have enough confusion, maybe we will come to a teeny bit of clarity. But I remember my year when I was in Israel, so I was in Rav Mendel Blachman's shiur. And Rav Blachman, on one point, gave like a whole shiur, and I went over to him after shiur, and I said, Rebbe, I just don't understand anything. So he was like, good. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, you're not supposed to understand. It's like, why am I here? Like, he's like, no, there are different levels of not understanding. Before this year, you understood nothing. Now at least you understand my questions. Now I'm like, no, I didn't even understand your questions. I actually have no idea, like, what you're talking about. But, okay, what can we do? So, we have this Gemara. You have Dalad Kundesim, you put Tzrach on top of them. Rabbi Yaakov says it's kosher. Let's just read the Gemara inside, and I'll make a few more points. Rabbi Yaakov says it's kosher. The Chachamim say it's pasul. Amar Rav Huna, the Machlokas al Svasai Gag. Rabbi Yaakov says we say good asik. Rabban say we don't say good asik. But Be'emtza HaGag, everybody says it's pasul. Rav Nachman Amar, the Machlokas is Be'emtza HaGag. And the Gemara has a question, is the Machlokas only Be'emtza HaGag, but Besvas HaGag would for sure be okay? Or maybe Bein Bezu Machlokas. Or maybe the Machlokas is both Be'emtza HaGag and al Svas HaGag. Okay, so let's just talk about this for a second. Right, the Gemara, Tanya, yeah. Whoa, you're making an assumption. Your assumption is that Be'emtza HaGag is also talking about good asset. We're going to invent a new category in a few minutes that has nothing to do with good asik, which is our emtza hagag category. Right? And let's talk about that now, because the Gemara is going to speak about it in a few minutes. The emtza hagag category, the way the Gemara is going to explain, is a principle of diyumdin. Diyumdin is a... Here's what Diyumdin is, okay? Diyumdin basically is that the Jewish people used to... This is the second parak of Maseches Erevin. The Jewish people used to go to Be'ola Regel. And they went to Be'ola Regel and they have their animals. And animals get thirsty on the way. And there's going to be a problem because if the animal has to get water out of a pit, the owner of the animal can't leave the animal to get water out of the pit, because then the animal is going to be motzi from a Rishus HaYachid to a Rishus HaRabim or to a Karmelos, or even Isser Hotza'ah. So how does the animal get water out of the pit? Here's the pit. So Chazal instituted this amazing thing called Diyumdin. Diyumdin means Diyo Omeid, two standing things, which means you have four corners are marked off around the pit. And the animal can go, the Gemara discusses how much space you have between each thing for the animal to fit in. The animal goes and the animal drinks the water. Lo hitiru diyumdin ela mishum ole regolim. That's what the Gemara says. So there's a special kula of diyumdin. Diyumdin is a kula in the sense of it works min haTorah. You would have thought that the rabbi said it doesn't work. But the chiddush is that for the Olei Regolim, we allow it to work. When Rav Nachman is saying that Be'emtza HaGag Machlokes, the Gemara will say later on, and actually Rashi hints at that over here right now. Look at the Rashi. Be'emtza HaGag. Rashi writes that Be'emtza HaGag, it's going to be okay, because you have diyumdin. Right? Rashi writes that the entire Gemara that says that Be'emtza HaGag might possibly be okay, it's not talking about that you have kundesin Be'emtza HaGag, it's not that you just build a pole in middle of the roof. That would definitely not work. The only thing that might work is Reb Yaakov Machshir, look at the Rashi, Rav Nachman Omer, Be'emtza HaGag Machlokes, Ba'ayudei Kundesim, Rabbi Yaakov Machshira ukegon shehin rachav tefach lechol tzidehem di ikar shem mechitzas tefach mitzafon umidarom v'shem mechitzas tefach mimizrach lemayre b'chol achas v'achas kidil kamon. Zakt Rashi, just like the Gemara is going to say later on, the din of diyumdin, the halacha of Rav Nachman is also based on diyumdin. Now, let's just pause. Diyumdin means that each one of these little guys has to be a tefach. It has to be like the size of my fist. The kundesim are just poles. They do not need to have any dimension at all. Rav Nachman is saying that the machlekes is be'emtza hagag. Then the Gemara has a question, okay, and this is why we're doing it. The Gemara's question is, okay, Rav Nachman, the machlokes is be'emtza. Well, what would it mean at the Sfas Hagag, right? Do I say that the Sfas Hagag is also a machlokes? Or do I say that the Sfas Hagag is definitely okay? Correct? Ladies, there's a third possibility that the Gemara doesn't address. Again, Rav Nachman says the machlokas is be'emtza hagag. Direct the Gemara, okay, what would be the status of Sfas Hagag? What's the status of the edge of the roof? So, possibility A, it's also machlokas. Possibility B is the end of the roof is definitely okay because of good. Right? It's not because of diyumdin. In the middle of the gag, it's diyumdin. If it's at the edge of the gag, it's going to be good asik, gevaldik. But why don't I say what I would consider the most logical possibility, which is that bisfas hagag, it's definitely no good, because we said that there is no such thing as good. Right? Wouldn't that be the most reasonable approach?
Okay,
maybe. And that is what Rachel is pointing out is exactly one of the critical issues in this Gemara. Are there two issues at hand? Or is there one issue at hand? Are we having a Gemara that's talking about two separate sugyas? Sugya 1 is the sugya of diyumdin.
Okay, friends, time for some education.
And sugya 2 is the sugya of
harvest time, which are closely related, but different.
And sugya 2 is the sugya of good asik. Right? Is that what it is? That they're two separate sugyas? Or maybe both sugyas are about diyumdin. Right? Both Sfas Hagag and Emtz Hagag is about diyumdin. It could be. It's not possible that Emtz Hagag is about good asik. That's impossible. Now, if approach one is correct, that this is about diyumdin, this is about good, so then we have to figure out, are these ideas connected or not connected? Ya'el, I cut you off. Exactly! Exactly! That's the point! We have, right? In other words, we began our shiur tonight with asking Akasha. We said, okay, you know what, we're reading a Gemara, and this Gemara has a machlokas between Rabbi Yaakov and the Chachamim, right? Which seems to be about good asik, and didn't Abaye and Rava earlier just dispute good asik, and how come we have the same machlokas again, and we don't say lema ketanoi? Usually if Amoraim have a machlokas, that's a machlokas of Yaakov and Chachom, I'd say lema ketanoi. I don't say that. Right? That's how we began the shiur. Right? What happened to the good asik that we rejected good asik before? That's how we began the shiur. So now, what Rachel is suggesting right, is, oh, one second, let's unpackage this Gemara. It could be that when Rav Nachman says the machlokas is be'emtza, right, that's a machlokas about diyumdin. And therefore, maybe the Sfas Hagag also, it's about diyumdin, and it has nothing living or dead to do with good asik. Good asik is rejected because the Gemara earlier rejected good asik. Oh, because it's similar in a spatial sort of way. Right? In other words, you see, that doesn't bother me. Well, I would say that it follows because that's the red herring that the Gemara is trying to produce, right? The Gemara wants us to think that, right? The Gemara wants us to think that's connected, but ha ha ha. Okay, so now what we'd have to do is put everything together in the hopper. And I think you're right about that, Sima. It makes no sense that diyumdin would work in the middle, but diyumdin would not work at the edge. The approach in the Gemara that diyumdin works in the middle, but at the edge, everyone said that diyumdin does not work in the middle according to the Chachamim. But at the edge, everyone says it does work, would have to say that at the edge, I'm working with the principle of good asik, not with diyumdin. Diyumdin with mechitzos nikaros, that we'll have to, right, exactly, flesh that out in 2 minutes. But the possibility that the Gemara never raised, the question that we saw from Rebbe Kiva Eger and from the Rashash, I mentioned Rebbe Kiva Eger and the Rashash, how come the Gemara never says that Be'emtza Hagag, it definitely does not work? How come the Gemara never says that Asfas Hagag definitely does not work? Again, according to Rav Nachman, the Machlokas is Be'emtza, right? Be'emtza, we have a Machlokas. So the Gemara wants to know the Sfas Hagag. So one approach in the Gemara is that Sfas Hagag is definitely yes. It definitely does work. Reb Kiva Eger and the Rashash ask, one second, why don't we say Sfas Hagag is definitely not going to work? Maybe the Machlokas is Be'emtza based on the Yumdin, and that the Sfas Hagag, it for sure does not work because we definitely do not say good asik. So that possibility apparently is untenable. If you would say diyumdin works, so then you would have to say that good asik works also. It cannot be, it's untenable in Gemara to say that diyumdin works, but not good asik, or not this type of good asik. And that is something that we'll have to figure out. I'm not sure, Rachel has a very expressive face. I'm not sure if this means that, like, the stuff I'm saying just doesn't make sense, or you're thinking about it, or... Okay, that's fine. Right, the Gemara never entertains the option that Sfat Hagag is definitely no good. The Gemara's two options within Rav Nachman is either Sfat Hagag is definitely yes good, or Sfat Hagag is a machlokas. But we never say that Sfat HaGag is definitely no good.
Really? Is that what you do with the dog?
So, Mechitza, here's the thing. I think both you and Tanya are getting at the same idea. When the Gemara said that within Abaye and Rava, this case does not work, because the Mechitzos are not Nikaros. What that might mean is that Lu Yitzuyer, if theoretically I could create Mechitzos Nikaros, then I would say good Asik.
I think.
Everyone would say that if the mechitzos are recognizable, then the halacha says good asik. Now, so here's the thing, right? I don't need good asik if I have a real mechitza. But let's say what I have over here is a building. Right? And on top of the building, I have sticks. Those sticks are not a mechitza. Those sticks are just sticks. But the point I tried to bring out from that Aruch Lener that I gave you on the Tosfos Diba Maaso Aval is that Aruch Lener is saying, you know what? These sticks make it like the mechitza is nikar. When I look at a building with sticks, I say, oh, what do those sticks show me? Those sticks show me that this mechitza, that building wall, I can extend all the way up. That's what I see based on those sticks.
It's beautiful.
So, what I'm saying is, and I think I may have mentioned this very briefly at the end of the shiur last week. You know, there's a difficult Rambam. The Ran points out that the Rambam is difficult. Because our Gemara seems to conclude that Bisvat HaGag should be a machlokes in the best case scenario. And yet the Rambam writes, right, Judaism's a great religion, the Rambam is born, he messed everything up. The Rambam is born, and the Rambam says that by Sfat HaGag, it's going to be kosher. Because good asik. So everyone jumps up and down, spets wood and nickel, and say, hey, my man, that he's dude, what are you talking about, good asik? Right? Rava told us that I don't say good asik. So there are a few ways of answering this question. One way of answering this question is that the Rambam is going to say, and I think this is the easiest way, the Rambam is going to say, yeah, I don't say good asik when the mechitzos are not nikar. If I see a mound, I see a pile of dirt, so I don't think of it like it's a mechitza. But if I see a pile of dirt and there are sticks that protrude on top of it, so those sticks change my orientation. And now I say that that pile of dirt is a mechitza. And then I'll say good asik, right? Because the sticks make it nikar. That is the way the Aruch Lener learns.
Thank you so much.
I know I'm jumping around, but yeah. Yeah, let's do that. Yeah.
I go, blah.
Good.
So
I'll play.
Is that what you are?
That was fun.
Right.
The rat gave me a fingernail
crown. That's nice.
So I'm with you 85%. But let's read that Tosis more carefully. Tosis says that the mechitzot are more nikar than the amur. Why? Zoktaisis mishum de nikaros babayis. Right, what does that mean? Nikaros babayis. So I think what that means for Tosis is as follows. Right? This is a house. People live in the house. For the person who's inside the house, these are my mechitzos. These are my walls. So these are mechitzos nikaros. Once I have mechitzos nikaros, so then I'll say good asik. The mechitzos are only nikar, right, on the inside. But for Tosis, that's enough to say good asik. Because it is a mechitza. Unlike a mound, people think of a mound, they don't think of a mechitza. It's a plot of dirt. It's a mound. But a house, people think of as a mechitza. So, I think Tosfot is saying good asik, but Tosfot is saying, how come I say good asik over here and I don't say it in the previous Gemara? Zoktosis, I'll tell you why. Because the previous Gemara was not Nikar. Over here it is Nikar. That's what Tosfos is saying. But according to Tosfos, Nikar means it's Nikar on the inside. Now, take a look at Rashi. Now take a look at Rashi. Machloket al Sfat HaGag. Demechitzos habayis tachteha keneged bein hakundesim. The mechitzos are opposite the kundesim. The ikonamimar good asik, and therefore I could say good asik. The hocha lo amrinon de beinon mechitzos nikaros. Now these words at the end of Rashi are hard words. We don't say that you need mechitzos nikaros. Many assume that what Rashi is trying to say is actually the opposite of what he says. And what Rashi is trying to say is that no, that these are mechitzos nikaros. But if that's what Rashi is saying, that these are mechitzos nikaros, so Rashi is saying something different than Tosfos, though. Tosfos is saying that the mechitzah is nikar because in the bayis it's nikar. Right? It's nikar inside. Rashi mentions the kundesim. Rashi mentions that I have the poles on top. Rashi and the Aruch Lener, again, this is an idea that I saw in the Mirror Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Elia Baruch Finkel Sefer. What Rashi means by over here, the mechitzos and nikaros, is it's nikar because of the kundesim. Those poles make it nikar. Now. Once I'm at this point, we can deal with the bones of the sugya a teeny bit. There are two issues, at least within Rav Nachman. You see, according to Rav Huna, there's a machlokes whether I say good asik. And Rav Huna would say the chachamim deny good asik. So Judaism is a beautiful religion. We saved Judaism. The Chachamim agree with Rava. All is grand. How come we didn't say Lema Ketanoi? I have no idea. But push comes to shove. When all is said and done, according to Rav Huna, Judaism is beautiful. Rav Nachman is somewhat problematic. Because the way we have our Gemara, Rav Nachman is saying two separate machlokas. There's one machlokes in the middle, right, which is the machlokes about the diyumdin. I just drew it a little bit wrong, but that's okay, right? There's one machlokes about the diyumdin in the middle. And then, right, that's the machlokes be'emtza. Then there's another machlokes, al sfas hagag, which could be one of two things. The Sfas HaGag for Rav Nachman, right? Remember, the Gemara has a question. Do I assume that the Machlokas is Be'emtza, but by Sfas HaGag it's for sure is okay? Or do I assume the Machlokas is Be'emtza, and by Sfas HaGag there's also a Machlokas? It's entirely possible that the issue at the Sfas Hagag is not an issue of kundesim, but it's also an issue of diyumdin. Meaning that what Rav Nachman is saying when he maintains that according to everybody it's good is based on what I would call a combination of factors. We're not going to say, oh, because I have a wall, halachically I'm allowed to draw that wall up. The concept of good asik on its own doesn't work. And the concept of good asik, even when I have a pole, even when I have a kundus, it doesn't work. But when I have some very basic, minimal mechitza, diyumdin, the most minimal mechitza, so then I could say that that works. Maybe it works in the middle. And even if it doesn't work in the middle, maybe these most basic mechitzos of diyumdin will work at the very edge of the wall, because diyumdin is a tiny mechitza. Good asik, I don't say because it's not nikar. What does it's not nikar mean? It means, come on, you have walls at the bottom. That doesn't help for the top. Even if you have a pole, that still doesn't make it nikar, because there's no mechitza that's nikar. Ah, when they have diyumdin. Diyumdin is a real mechitza. It's a mechitza for animals, ole regalim, whatever it is, but it's a mechitza. So that is a mechitza that's nikar, and therefore it would help. Let me take a deep breath. Let's say this again slowly. It is not clear from the Gemara. The Gemara says, according to Rav Nachman, the machlokes be'emtza relates to diyumdin. Right? We spoke about diyumdin. You have these most basic mechitzos. Most basic mechitzos means four corners. That's the most basic mechitzos. Some say it does not work. So machlokes be'emtza. Bisfas hagag. Everyone says it works, according to one version of Rav Nachman. So what works? It could be that Bisvas HaGag, what works is regular good asik, just four poles. Now, that would be a little difficult conceptually, because then I am doing, to use the Yiddish expression, I am mixing kasha and borscht. What I'm doing is I'm saying, you know what, this dispute about diyumdin and this dispute about good asik, somehow they're connected. And you're going to say, hey, dude, like, what's the connection? It's possible, however, that the Sfas Hagag is not really about kundesim, it's not just a pole, but maybe the issue is that I have diyumdin on the Sfas Hagag. I have these most basic mechitzos that outline the edge of the roof. And if that's the case, I think we could really explain the Gemara much more beautifully. You see, I don't say, if I have an amud, I have a mound. No one says good asik. That's what Rava says. Okay, grand. Maybe, though, I don't say good asik because it's not mechitza nikar. Well, what does it take to make it nikar? So the Aruch Lener suggests if you just have poles that stick up from it, it's nikar. But when you think about it, that's not really nikar, because that I just see a pole. You know, you have a foul pole in baseball. That doesn't make anything nikar. It's just a foul pole. It doesn't mean that the mechitza underneath is nikar. But if I have diyumdin on top, so the diyumdin is a real mechitza, halachically. It's the most basic, most minimal mechitza possible in Judaism, but that's a mechitza. Seema, how's life in your parts?
Are like a major issue.
Nitrogen.
If it's the yumdin in the middle of the roof, it's more questionable. But the best possible scenario is if I have the yumdin at the end of the roof, because in that situation, I would say it's most likely to just say good asik. I'll say good asik because I have real mechitzos to push up. The mechitzos are called the yumdin, and I could raise those the yumdin, and then I'll say good asik. Exactly. Now, so the diyumdin in the middle of the gag don't help because of the gag. Diyumdin in the middle of the gag help, just like diyumdin help in the middle of a street for the animal to go through. It's the primordial mechitza. It is the bare bones, minimal mechitza. Now, one could argue that diyumdin only helps as a special kula for olei regolim. Maybe it doesn't help for sukkah at all. But when I have diyumdin at the edge of the roof, so then I'm going to say, oh, you know what? That's most likely to help. Because I have the combination of good asik and diyumdin, where the diyumdin themselves are enough of mechitza to say good asik. Now, again, it could be that this is the easiest way to read the Gemara. That's what I would say. The point that I was making when I mentioned to you to look at the difference between Rashi and Tosfos is both Rashi and Tosfos are trying to create a situation that our Gemara, the dispute between Rabbi Yaakov and the Chachomim, is different than the Machlokas Abaye and Rava. Tosfos says it's different because here we're talking about a bias. It's Nikar in the bias. That means that for Tosfos, being a Nikar on the inside is good enough. But for Rashi, the way we're reading Rashi, no, you need Nikar up on top. The Mechitos have to be, and the Rishonim use a Lashon of Nikar b'mekoman. It has to be Nikar in their location. That's what Rashi holds. Tosis holds that Nikar shelo b'mekoman is enough. Let's go back to the Gemara, because I just want to finish up the Gemara a little bit. I mean, there is much more to say over here, but I think it gets a little technical. The Gemara says that the Shaila about whether, according to Rav Nachman, the Machlokas is Be'emtza HaGag, what about Bespas HaGag? So here, Meisvei. Right? You see where I am? Meisvei. Not Dalet Kundesim Ba'aretz Asikei Chagabon. Let's say I put four poles just on the ground. Over here, the poles are not on top of a roof. The poles are on the ground. Not Dalet Kundesim Be'karka V'Asikei Chagabon.
It's okay. I can hear like this. Please don't make any louder.
Did I totally lost my place. Oh, like here.
I'm fine with
your marks
for the rest of us.
Here. Meisvei. Can you see where I am? It's like the third line that's showing on this page. Meisvei. If I not stop, if I put four poles on the ground, and I put tzchach on top of it, Rabbi Yaakov says, the kosher chum and say it's puzzle. I, oretz is like emtza hagag, and Rabbi Yaakov still says, it is okay. Isn't this against Rav Huna, who says that be'emtza, everybody says it's no good? Right? To yufta Rav Huna, to yufta. V'ol, the Gemara says, machlokes is be'emtza. That would imply, remember, Sfas HaGag, it's for sure is good. Le'emet yufta Rav Huna, betarati. No. Zakhting about Amrach Rav Huna pligi be emtsai gag v'hu adin asfas gag. Hide the kamifligi be emtsai gag v'odiyah hakochad Reb Yaakov dafil be emtsai gag nami machshir. Period. Tamin Rabbanan. I'll read it quickly and then I'll make two other ha'aros. Tan Rabbanan. Not al arba kandesin ba'aretz v'sikei chagabon. I put four poles on the ground. I put tzkach on top. Reb Yaakov says, ro'in kol she'ilu yechakiku v'yecholku v'yesh bahen tefach lekan v'tefach letan nidon mishum diyumad. V'imlav ein nidon mishum diyumad she Reb Yaakov omner diyumde suka tefach v'chachomer omrim v'yishtam kol chasen u'shlishes afilu tefach. What the Gemara says over here is as follows. When we speak about how in the Emtsa Hagag the issue relates to Diyumdin, so the Gemara at this point is saying, you know what? I could have Diyumdin, this actually looks like some sort of bad face, but I could have Diyumdin by cutting out these, through these round things, I could cut it out. And then I'll have diyumdin that way. As long as I'll have a tefach al tefach, that's good enough according to Rav Nachman. The chiddush, that's good enough according to Reb Yaakov in this version. Basically, at this point in the Gemara, we are saying that the issue, at least be'emtza hagag, is about diyumdin. The chiddush that we're developing is that you do not need an actual diyumar. But as long as you could do it, that's good enough. As long as I could carve it out, that is sufficient. Now, I want to make two more points briefly. Point one, I assumed when I began the Gemara tonight, that the middle machlokis is about the yumid, and the end, the machlokis hasfas hagag, is about good asik. Is there any relationship between these two concepts?
Use both.
Right? These two concepts seem to be unrelated. And if it's unrelated, then the whole Gemara is hard to read. Right? The Gemara asks, oh, is the machlokas be'emtza? What about besfas hagag? Like, hello, they are unrelated. And if the concepts are unrelated, we really have to deal with Rebbe Kiva Eger's kasha of maybe the machlokas is be'emtza hagag, and sfas hagag is definitely puzzle. If the concepts are unrelated, that kasha of Rebbe Kiva Eger is a very strong kasha. The fact that the Gemara assumes that there is a relationship between these categories indicates, and the Rashash says this, and others say it as well, that there's a logic to diyumdin, and it's the same logic to good asik. That logic basically tells me that there's such a thing as mechitza extensions.
Yeah.
The idea of diyumdin is, I have these two little things at each of the corners. I'm going to say, you know what? I have this little thing, I have this little thing, extend, 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 and I will create mechitzos based on extensions. Once I'm allowing the use of hamshacha, of extension, and this is the words that the Rashash uses, so it's not so hard to say, oh, if diyumdin works, good asik also works, because good asik is another way of just extending a mechitza, right? You could extend stuff this way, you could extend stuff horizontally, you could extend stuff vertically. Extension is an extension. That is the way the Rashash learns the Gemara. There's a slightly related, fancier way of learning the Gemara, which says, you know what? Maybe the idea isn't extension. But maybe the idea, we spoke about this at one point, you know, when the Pope made the line of demarcation, right? Which is why in Brazil they speak Portuguese, and it's like the last place on the planet where they speak Portuguese. Besides Portugal, but Portugal doesn't count. So when they made the line of demarcation, it's just a line. But lines sometimes mark territory as being different. We raised the issue last week when we discussed Sukkah versus Shabbos, that maybe a mechitza by Shabbos only has to be something that marks space as being different from other space. So Diyumdin makes a lot of sense by Shabbos. Because when they have these four corner pieces, I say, you know what that does? It marks this space as different.
I dislike it.
It's harder to hear that the concept of Diyumdin should work by Sukkah. Especially, I sent you to a Tosfos in Erevin on Daf Yud Zayin, where Tosfos in Erevin Daf Yud Zayin says that Diyumdin works by being a Pesach. It's a doorway. Now, I could have a doorway for Shabbos, because a doorway marks territory, and that's good enough. But by Sukkah, presumably you need real mechitzos. So one could argue that the whole concept of Diyumdin should not work by Sukkah, because Sukkah requires real barriers. By the same token, one can argue that the whole concept of good asik should not work by Sukkah. Because good asik, what is it? I have a wall, and I'm going to draw up, right? That's not a physical barrier. That's not something that's good for Sukkah. Sukkah doesn't require just a line of demarcation. Sukkah requires substance, dofen. So it could be that the lumdis over here, the reason why the Gemara is connecting the idea of diyumdin to the idea of good asik, is because we're questioning on a fundamental level. Does the idea of marking territory alone, does that help for Sukkah? For Shabbos it helps. For Sukkah it doesn't help. Well, that's a good question. But I could also say that, you know what, you're making a mistake. Because diyumdin, maybe it's not marking territory. Maybe diyumdin is actually a mechitza. Let me explain. Look at the Tosis, diyumde suka tefach. Tosfos is bothered by Akasha that in Hilchos Erevin, Diyumdin have to be an Amma. But by Sukkah, it has to be only a Tefach. Tosfos asks, why is that? So Tosfos answers, you know what, really, a Tefach is enough, even by Erevin, and there's just a Chumrah for Shabbos that you have to make it an Amma. Right, that's the Tosis Diyum de Sukkah Tefach. You see it? Let's read the Tosis together. How come you need an Amma there, Meseches Erevin, in Perek Osen Pasin? Because Gabe Mechitza Shabbos Hechmiru. There's a Chumra by Shabbos. The Chumra by Shabbos is that you need an Amma. Shabbos is more Chumra than Sukkah, so we say you need a bigger pass. That's one approach. That's what Tosfos is saying. That means that min ha-Taira, by Shabbos, Tefach is enough. However, the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz over here has a different idea. Now, the halacha of a sukkah is like this. You need shtayim kehilchasan, two regular walls, and the third wall has a minimum size of a tefach. Shlishis hafilu tefach. That means that tefach, 3 inches, tefach, is the size of a sukkah wall. The bare min, Yael? Okay. I forgive you. Have a good week. We'll see you.
So I think everyone's waving at you. Either everyone's waving at you or they're waving at me. But I think you're still, the others are still staying, so it means that they're waving at Yael. That's my guess. But just to finish it up, basically the idea that Rabbeinu Peretz is saying is that it could be tefach is a minimum size of mechitza by sukkah. Right? The fact that the smallest sukkah is 7 tefachim, right? By 7 tefachim, and that third wall is 1 tefach. That means 1 tefach is a sukkah size. 1 tefach might not be the mechitza size anywhere else in halacha. But in sukkah, the halacha Moshe Mitzvah tells me, 1 tefach is the minimum size. If that's the case, so when I have diyumdin, it's not just that I'm marking the territory. Right? It's not just I'm saying this area is different than this area, I'm just marking it off. No! Maybe the idea of diyumdin is that this is a mechitza. It's a halachic mechitza le'inyan sukkah. Sukkah has different mechitza rules than the rest of Judaism has. Yeah, that's what we said last week. So, I would say, Rabbi Rosenzweig uses this expression very often. Sometimes X and Y aren't compared, that this is stricter and this is weaker, but the comparison between X and Y just means this is different than that. And when I say this is different than that, there's certain stringencies and certain weaknesses. Sukkah has a stringency. The stringency is ke'endira, which means you need physical barriers as a mechitza. You can't just put up a tzuras ha-pesach and say that's a sukkah. You need a physical barrier. That's a stringency. On the other hand, there's a certain leniency in sukkah, which is that the mechitza itself does not have to be as long as a mechitza anywhere else in halacha. Everywhere else in halacha, the smallest mechitza is an amma. By sukkah, the smallest mechitza is a tefach.
That takes forever. And the
right? Now, again, the smallest mechitza of a tefach by a sukkah is only in this case when I have 7 by 7, and then that 1 tefach is there also. But from that halacha, I see that for sukkah purposes, a tefach is a mechitza. So, mechitza of sukkah, mechitza of Shabbos are different. Mechitza of sukkah requires a real barrier. And the fact that it requires a real barrier means, don't give me your fancy tzuras ha-pesachs, your lumdas and mechitzas. I don't want lumdas. I need a barrier. But then I have a second question. How big does that barrier have to be?
Well,
so for sukkah, the halacha l'moshe misinai, we'll talk about this on Dab Zayin, God willing. The halacha l'moshe misinai says, very small barrier. You have a tiny, tiny barrier. Insi teensi. Right? But it's still a barrier. It's got to be a physical structure. So I would say it's not better, it's not worse, it's different. Right? It's ke'en dira. But dira doesn't mean that you have to live in the whole thing. Right? Dira just means, yeah, I could, if I'd have this type of wall, I could live in it. Right? Yeah, it's not enough of a wall, so use your halachic imagination to extend it. Okay. I didn't get to the Ramban in the Mochamos, but basically the Ramban is saying some of the ideas that we were mentioning tonight about the intersection between these two concepts. The concept of diyun and the concept of good asik. The Ramban says that the Rif rejects both of them for the same reason. If he rejects both of them for the same reason, that means that there is a commonality between these things. That's what, maybe next week, again, I think this sugya is a little technical, I'd rather move on, but if people want to do that Ramban next week, I'm happy to do it. Okay, ladies, you should have a freilichin. I didn't count Sphira yet tonight, so you should have a freilichin day after Lag BaOmer, and Everything should be grand. Yashikar, thank you for coming to learn. Okay, Kotov.